Hello, everyone. I'm back with another episode of the Dungeon Diaries. Today, I'm joined by fetish model and quicksand enthusiast, Leila Hazlett. Did I finally pronounce that right?
Yes, you did. And thank you for having me. I'm happy to talk to you tonight.
And I'm so happy that I finally managed to say your name right. I've been pronouncing it for, well, as long as I've known you, and I think I've known you for 5 or 6 years at this point.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's true.
And Leila has such good manners that she never would have been so rude as to tell me that I was mispronouncing her name.
Well, really, it's just I'm used to it. Everyone mispronounces it. You're not the only one.
Yes. So anyway, I guess the fact that I've known you this long is a good segue into the question of how did you get started in fetish modeling and how long have you been doing this?
Oh, God. I wanted to start when I was younger. I started when I was 18. modeling was something I always had an interest in just because I'm an exhibitionist. So, you know, the whole idea of standing naked in front of people was just kind of exciting to me. And I started actually in college doing some, like, artistic figure modeling and quickly kind of set up a profile online to try to find fetish photographers because fetish work was really what I was interested in. And just kind of went from there, started working with local people, and pretty quickly built up a portfolio.
So you kind of naturally grew into it from your own interests and your own initiative, really. And at this point, how many weird shoots do you think you've done in your life? How many fetish shoots have you done, ballpark? It's in the hundreds easily, but...
Oh, God, yeah, no, it's gotta be in the hundreds. I kind of wish I've kept better track of, like, how many people I've worked with and how many different, you know, fetishes I've done and everything, but it's really, like, it's overwhelming at this point. I've done so many different shoots. I've done several shoots a month for, like, the past 7 years. I really wouldn't even know how to guess, like, how many shoots I've done, but it's been great. I've gotten to try a lot of things. You know, like I said, I got into fetish modeling because it was fetishes were really a big interest of mine, and it's been great because I've gotten to, you know, experiment with fetishes that I knew I had an interest in, but I've also gotten to experiment with fetishes that I never even heard of and never even would have thought of. So it's been really just a great journey overall.
Yes, I wouldn't think that you would have known about, say, quicksand fetish modeling when you started out, but that's certainly something you're known for now, not to get ahead of ourselves. But I guess that brings up one question of, so what are some of the more common fetishes that you do? What are the ones that you wanted to do when you got started? And then what are the fetishes that you've discovered along the way and maybe grown to enjoy?
Well, the bondage was a really big one for me when I was younger. Like a lot of people with fetishes, I knew at a very young age that I had a very strong fascination with bondage. So that was really a big draw for me. That was kind of really my main fetish. But from there, well, like you mentioned, like the quicksand, I had never heard of that. When I got contacted to do that, I was shocked. I didn't even understand, like, how is that a sexual thing? But I've been doing that now for maybe 5 years. And I have to admit, like, I really enjoy it. To me, I enjoy it because I like the messy stuff. I like playing in the mud. I've never been a very girly girl. I like going out and getting dirty. So, like, that's really kind of the appeal for the quicksand stuff for me. Now let's see. I mean, there's other things that I've done, like sneezing fetish that I would have never thought is an actual fetish. Balloon popping. I recently just did a bunch of CPR fetish videos with Betty Jaded, which again, I'm trained in CPR. I just never knew that was a fetish. So it's been really fascinating to sort of learn all these different interesting things that I probably never would have found otherwise.
I think at this point it's safe to say if something exists, it's a fetish.
It really is. I think there used to be, I don't know if this website exists anymore, but there used to be, like, a website where it was women in bondage with wristwatches on. Like, literally anything you can imagine, someone finds sexual, which I think is great, because to me, I can pretty much find anything sexual, so I think that's awesome.
Indeed. So, at this point, you've mentioned a lot of fetishes you've done, but... Mm-hmm. Does any particular fetish stand out as the weirdest that you've done a video for?
Oh, God. You know what? I have to say, probably, like, as terms of, like, the weirdest video that I've done, I agreed to do a pet play shoot, and I was... The reason I agreed to do it, because I thought it was kind of like a furry, like I was going to be wearing like a furry animal outfit, which I think is just ridiculous and funny, but it turned out they actually wanted me to wear just like a rubber dog mask and walk around on like my hands and knees, and like, it was really uncomfortable, and it was the only like fetish shoot that I really disliked and would not do again. Because it was really awkward. I had to literally, like, bark and constantly pretend to be a dog. Even while having, like, an orgasm, they wanted me to, like, howl and bark. And, like, thinking back on it, like, it's pretty funny, but it was really awful and awkward to do at the time.
I can imagine. Now, there's something you wouldn't do again, but beyond, like, the obvious... completely stupid, off-the-wall wanker material you get that you just won't do and you say no to. Has there ever been a fetish offered to you that was so weird that you just said, no, I'm going to have to pass on that one?
Now, honestly, when it's, like, the weirder is usually the better for me. Like, I'm kind of the person that will, like, I will seek out, like, the weird, weird fetish stuff. Pretty much, you know, as long as it's nothing illegal, not involving bodily fluids, and not involving the killing of small animals, I'm okay with it. And the killing of small animals is something someone asked me to do once. I guess that's the only thing I've ever said no to.
Yes, I do find those pretty objectionable as well. It's a shame. I mean, you would think these people could at least... I don't know. I won't even go there. Now, I've always remembered this story, and I hope I'm not getting it wrong, but on top of, like, weird things that, well, I guess I can't say weird things you wouldn't do, since you'll do pretty much anything. Photographers, the complaint most models have with photographers are A, asking for things that you won't do, and B, being unreliable and sketchy. And I just remember the lamest story of a photographer canceling on a model comes from you. Didn't a photographer once cancel on you because he couldn't go to a Nine Inch Nails concert that night?
Yes, I'm really surprised you remember that. I was thinking about that the other day, too. I was really pissed off because I had this... This is when I was living in Worcester. I had access to this absolutely gorgeous, amazing, abandoned building. And I contacted a photographer about it, showed him the photos. He seemed like he was all excited to, you know, to go shoot here. And we were shooting early. This was like, we were supposed to be shooting at like 8 in the morning. So then like 5 minutes before 8, I get a phone call from him. And I assume, you know, he's out in front of my apartment because he was supposed to pick me up and then we're going to go to this location. But instead of saying, like, hey, I'm here, he says, so I just wanted to let you know I'm not actually going to be coming down to shoot you because the only reason I was going to be in Worcester was for a Nine Inch Nails concert, and that got canceled. So that was probably, like, the worst cancellation story I had because that just makes no sense. Like, what if you were going to be in Worcester in the evening, why did you even book a shoot with me in the morning? And then why would you cancel? Like, why would you wait 5 minutes before a shoot to cancel when he was coming from New Hampshire? So it would have taken at least an hour to get there to begin with. So, yeah, that was probably one of the more irritating experiences I've had with a photographer.
Well, the reason I remember that is I was supposed to go to that Nine Inch Nails concert that night, and I was...
Was it actually canceled?
Yes, it was actually canceled, because that's how I think it ended up coming up. I think I mentioned, I was supposed to be in Worcester tonight, but something happened, and the Nine Inch Nails concert for tonight was canceled. And you're like, yeah, that caused some jackass photographer to not shoot me today. And maybe the reason that he had it so early was he had a whole bevy of models scheduled that day because he was going to be in Worcester for the concert, and he had to call them each one by one saying, sorry, not going to shoot you. Nine Inch Nails concert was canceled.
Yeah, I don't know. Or he was just a dick, one or the other.
Either way. Now, that's probably the lamest jerk you, well, haven't worked with, but... Given you've done this for so long, it's easy to kind of be jaded by it and see it as all sort of ho-hum. But are there any models or photographers that at the time, or even now, you're still thrilled that you worked with?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's lots of, you know, I have to say, like, I'm really lucky. I've worked with a lot of great photographers and a lot of great models. Like, recently, actually, I was very happy to find a bondage producer I really like who's local to me, the guy who runs bondagejunkies.com, because, as I said, you know, bondage was, like, one of the main reasons I got into fetish modeling, because it's something I really love, and it's really nice to find someone who can do really good, creative, tight bondage, but also take good photos. There seems to be kind of this weird phenomenon when it comes to bondage producers where a lot of people think that, oh, because I'm good at bondage, I'm instantly a good photographer. And that typically doesn't work out. So he's one of my favorite bondage producers to work with. I also shoot a lot with, actually someone you're going to be shooting with too, Damsel in Distress Video Productions. He's also a really good photographer. He's the one who does I do all the quicksand stuff with. And, I mean, other than being a good photographer, he's, you know, a fun person to shoot with, which really helps. It really helps in this industry if, you know, you can get along with the people you're working with because you're typically just kind of hanging out with people for several hours at a time. And as far as models go, I've been lucky to work with a lot of really great models. Ludell Hahn is someone I've worked with on and off for years, who's just awesome and, like, really crazy and artistic in a great way. And Sarah Michelle I've been working with a lot recently. She also does the quicksand work, and she's just has this amazing bubbly personality where, like, just being around her makes everyone happier. So there's definitely a lot of people in this industry that I really feel fortunate to have worked with.
Well, you sort of stole two of my planned transitions, the way I'm going to transition into some plugs for the work you're doing now, but you have given me a great little transition I wasn't expecting. So, you mentioned working with Ludell Hahn, and you've told me in the past the story of how you met Ludell Hahn, and it's one of the cuter and more unexpected stories you would see come out of the fetish model experience.
Yeah, no, that was actually, that's probably one of my favorite memories from when, like, I first started modeling. I set up a profile on Model Mayhem, and this is when I was in college, and I think maybe I've been modeling for, like, a year at this point. Like, I was still pretty, like, new, but I've been lucky enough to work with a lot of good producers, and I had sets on several websites. And Ludella contacted me on Model Mayhem, and first of all, I should say, I was in Massachusetts, she was in Maine, and she contacted me and asked me, like, oh, you know, I like your work, I'm interested in working with some of the same people you've worked with, you know, can you give me some advice? Let me know who's good to work with around here and who's good to avoid. So, you know, I sent her off like, hey, you know, these people have been great. You want to avoid these people. And, you know, that was pretty much it. I wasn't expecting to really hear back from her because she, you know, lived in another state. And then a few weeks later, I get another message from her on Model Mayhem. They're like, hey, do you live in Worcester? I think I just saw you. And I was kind of freaked out. I was like, oh my God, I think this girl is stalking me. And it turned out her boyfriend at the time was going to the same college that I was going to, and she happened to see me on campus. I responded back and told her, you know, where I lived, and we figured everything out, and we ended up actually meeting on campus, and, you know, we've ended up working together several times since then. But it was just sort of the weirdest, kind of creepiest way to meet someone. But luckily she wasn't a crazy stalker, so it all worked out.
Yes, I mean, it's funny for two reasons. Obviously, the first reason it's funny is that's, you know, a really weird way to meet someone where they go, hey, I think I saw you today. And you're like, uh-oh, is this person following me around? But the other is, I mean, as a Dom, I get lots of people emailing me and going, can you teach me how to be a Dom? Or I really want to be a Dom. How do I go about being a Dom? And as a fetish model, I'm sure you get lots of people saying, oh, I'd like to be a fetish model. How do I get started? And 99 out of 100 of them, or maybe even 100 out of 100 of them, end up never doing anything. But in this case, she ended up not just doing it, but, I mean, she's done an absolutely amazing job and carved out a nice little niche for herself.
Oh, yeah, no, I love, Ludella's work is really some of my favorite work from, like, another model. She has amazing pinup work. She's been published everywhere. Like, her work is really impressive, and it's funny because you're right. I get contacted, especially on FetLife, I get contacted all the time by random girls who are like, oh, my God, fresh modeling looks fun. Can you tell me how to do that? And they have no idea what they're doing, never do anything, and never hear from them again. So, yeah, it was really strange that to be contacted like that by someone who actually went on and actually became a really good, awesome, you know, published model.
Now, that's one of the more positive experiences you've had, and I could have had a great transition earlier if I had interrupted you, but that would be rude for just a great transition. You mentioned people who are good at bondage and then think they'll be a good bondage photographer, but on the other side, there are people who have camera equipment, may not even be any good with it, and then have some rope and think that they'll be a good bondage photographer. And I'm sure, and I know, that you've encountered some of these as well.
Oh, yeah, no, it's, especially with the bondage, it's really tricky. I get contacted by, like, clearly very amateur photographers and amateur riggers, like, all the time. And I've gotten to the point where I really just don't like working with amateurs anymore because, you know, especially, it's one thing if you don't know how to work your camera, you're not going to injure anyone with your lack of camera skills. However, if you think you know how to do bondage, and you really don't, you can seriously injure someone. And I made a mistake a while back. I agreed to work with someone who was very amateur, both with his camera and with the rope bondage skills. And like I said, I've been doing this for, like, 7 years now, so I've kind of gotten, I have to admit, part of it was my fault. I got kind of lazy when it came to, like, the whole, like, safety aspects, because I know what I'm doing, and I assume people I'm working with know what they're doing, too, especially when it comes to, like, basic safety knowledge. But the reality is, not everyone has basic safety knowledge when it comes to rope bondage. And I had some complete asshole who's doing a hog tie on me. I told him it was too tight. He refused to loosen the ropes. So he gets me down on a hog tie. And I've told him, like, it's too tight. You're going to have to untie me in, like, 2 minutes. He says, oh, I'm just going to take photos for a minute. It'll be fine. You'll be fine. So he gets me down on the floor in a hog tie. Leaves the room for 5 minutes. I didn't realize at the time he did not have any of his equipment in the room. He did not have the camera. He did not have the lighting. So he leaves, comes back. I'm already, like, I can't breathe. My circulation's being cut off. I'm miserable. I have a massive migraine because there's no blood going to my head. So I tell him, like, you have to get me out now. And then, of course, he doesn't have safety scissors. So he has to untie everything, starting with the legs. Gives me horrible rope burn. So I'm miserable, I'm in pain, and he was at the time very apologetic, saying, oh, you know, I'm so sorry, we don't have to keep shooting, everything, you know, I'm so sorry about this, and I'm like, yeah, no, we're not going to keep shooting, because I'm miserable, I can't, you know, I can't let you tie me up anymore, because this whole situation was not okay. And then he had the nerve to blame me, and afterwards sent me a whole bunch of, like, angry text messages. They're like, oh, well, if you couldn't do a hog tie, you shouldn't have agreed to one, and clearly you're not a very good bondage model if you can't stay in bondage for more than 2 minutes. So, yeah, that asshole I don't work with anymore, and pretty much have gotten away from working with anyone who's, like, really amateur at this point.
Now, speaking of non-amateurs, you have some interesting stuff coming up in the bondage world and the non-bondage world. I guess we should start with bondage first. You're going to have a shoot coming up with straightjacketed.com.
Yes, I have that. Not this weekend, but the next weekend I'm going to be shooting with straightjacketed.com again, which I really love. I really, really love straightjackets, and it's one of those things that, you know, straitjackets are expensive. Most, you know, people don't have them. I don't have one because I'm cheap. I don't want to buy one. But I love being put in a straitjacket. So I'm really excited about that. I've worked with, I think I run that site once before, and it was a really great experience. So I'm looking forward to that, doing that again.
Yes, and I think straitjackets especially work for you because, well, with all of your tattoos, and less now since your hair is so long and kind of normal, but in the past, you've looked basically like a crazy chick. So there's no one I can think of who looks, you know, more natural than a straitjacket.
Well, I am a little bit crazy, so it does work.
That's true. I mean, is there anything in particular about straitjackets that, like, draw you to them and make them so much fun to work in?
Yeah, I think part of it is I really do kind of like the whole institutional theme, sort of like the concept of being in a mental hospital. Not that I've ever been in a mental hospital or want to be in one, but I don't know, for some reason that's just kind of like this weird kinky thing that I like. I really like having my arms bound. That's a big thing for me. Like, if I'm at home, like, I tend to use bondage as a form of therapy. For me, I really enjoy bondage, not just in a sexual context, but also as a means of relaxing. For whatever reason, when I'm, you know, tied up, I really just feel a lot more relaxed and a lot more calm. And for me, it's specifically my arms being bound make me feel really relaxed. So being in a straitjacket is actually kind of a therapeutic and enjoyable experience for me.
Wow, that's something that even I didn't know. And I guess that fits in with your love of yoga and some of the erotic yoga modeling you've done.
Yeah, well, that's another thing I love. Well, I love, like, a really good stretch. I like being flexible, and I love... it was funny you should mention that I was thinking of getting an arm binder specifically to use as kind of a shoulder opener so I can stretch my shoulders more, because that's actually something I really enjoy while doing in yoga. And yoga itself is kind of a very erotic, sexual thing to me because it's, you know, flexy and just kind of erotic. So, yeah, there is kind of, for me, there is kind of a link to bondage and yoga, which I think people should use more personally.
Have you done any bondage yoga shoots specifically combining the two?
No, you know what? That actually has been something I've wanted to explore more. Like, I've actually for bondagejunkies.com, It was funny. I contacted the guy who runs that site, and I specifically asked him to put me in a reverse prayer. So that was one of the first shoots we did, was my arms were bound in a reverse prayer, because that's a yoga pose, and it's one of my favorite yoga poses, and it was something that, like, I always wanted to do as part of a bondage shoot, and I just never got around to doing. But there's actually, I've actually been doing a lot more yoga recently, specifically with the intention of being able to use some of the poses in bondage. It's not something that I've gotten around to shooting yet, but it is definitely something that I do want to use.
What would be, like, the geekiest thing you've ever done on camera for a shoot?
Oh, God. I don't know. I dressed up as Lois Griffin. I don't know if that counts as geeky.
You were pretty excited about it, so that would count as at least somewhat geeky.
Well, I was really excited about it at the time. I have to admit, I can't stand Family Guy anymore. They really just... Seth MacFarlane is a douchebag. But I really, really loved Family Guy, like, when they were first on the air before they got canceled. It was probably the best show ever. So I was really excited to play Lois Griffin on camera. And actually, I was thinking about that. Because that was just for a photo shoot. That wasn't a video shoot. I still have the outfit. I'd really love to do Lois Griffin again as, like, part of a video, because I've been told that I laugh like her, so, which is not an attractive laugh at all, but I can do it really well. So I do want to do that again at some point. I just need to find, like, a good excuse to play Lois Griffin.
You could combine it with your Damsels in Distress work. You could be Lois Griffin, and then we could find some giant fat person to sit on top of you as Peter Griffin, and you'd be in distress until you could be rescued from underneath this giant fat blob.
That's true, but I really don't want any fat people sitting on me.
Oh, so you're only into gross things when they're wet and or messy, not when they're fat, sweaty, and stinky.
Yeah, that's pretty much, that's where I draw the line. I'm cool with, you know, like, weird food substances being poured over me. Actually, I enjoy that one a lot. Not into fat, sweaty people. No offense to anyone who's overweight. That's just not my thing.
In the very least, not in the case of someone gigantic sitting on top of you, putting in you in distress. I'm sure you'd work with someone like Kelly Shibari, who's, you know, a gorgeous BBW model, but a giant fat Peter Griffin type, not your cup of tea.
Oh, yeah, no, there's a big difference between, you know, the lovely curvy ladies and, like, big, giant, sweaty dudes. So, yeah, that's where I draw the line.
Well, I'm glad that I managed to answer that question earlier of, is there anything too weird for you?
Yeah, I guess that would be a too weird one for me. Well, I'm more so, I'm you know, I'm disabled. I can't have fat people sitting on me. That might kill me.
That's true. We've neglected to mention some of your more interesting traits. That you're always putting yourself in all of these painful predicaments when you basically don't have a spine.
Well, no, I have more than just a spine. I have a titanium-enhanced spine, speaking of transhumanism. it is kind of funny. I think about that sometimes where, you know, I am in all these ridiculous bondage, like, yoga-type positions for shoots, and I don't think anyone would guess that I'm physically disabled. My spine is actually fractured, and I have to be really careful because I could paralyze myself. Luckily, I haven't yet.
Yeah, so, if any of you boys out there have a fetish, and since we did say that there's a fetish for everything, someone out there must have a fetish for someone actually paralyzing themselves. If you're into that, download all of Lila's videos, and maybe someday you'll get to see that.
I can show off the screws in my back. They poke out. I don't know if anyone has, like, a screw-in-spine fetish. But I should incorporate that into a shoot somehow.
Yes. Since, I mean, you do incorporate your other more noticeable trait, your tattoos, into a lot of your shoots. And for a while, when I would talk to other people who worked in the fetish scene, they'd be like, you know that girl with the tattoos, right? With the angel's wings?
That's the only way people recognize me. I've been recognized a few times at like various conventions, and no one recognizes my face. They'll either recognize the tattoo on my chest or my angel wings. But apparently I do not have a recognizable face.
Well, it's lucky that no one's recognized the tattoo on your wrist so far. It'd be weird if someone was focusing on that one and like, oh my god, you're that girl.
That's true. Yeah, that would be a little weird, but yeah, that I don't think people even see that one most of the time.
Yes, but I think that would be a topic for another interview. Your tattoo work and your tattoo modeling and conventions you've gone to, because you mentioned earlier and brought up again that you love getting wet and or messy, and I believe that you just started a store for just this fetish, a wet and messy, or WAM, clip store.
It's WAM, not WAM, but yes. yes, no, that's actually, it's something, the whole WAM fetish is something that I've really, well, that's part of the reason, you know, I like doing the quicksand, and it's an excuse to kind of get messy in the mud, but I've always kind of wanted to try and explore, you know, like other substances to get messy with. So starting this new store was really, it was really just an excuse to get to play with a lot of messy stuff and get to, like, play with other girls while getting messy. I have a few videos, oh god, I want to say I have, like, 8 videos up so far, and I'm doing, I'm going to be working with 3 other models this weekend doing a bunch of WAM shoots. And yeah, that's a really fun one. Let's see, I've been covered in chocolate, I've been covered in clay, I've been covered in a homemade green slime, and actually, speaking of, like, dorky geekiness, I am into, like, actually making my own substances, too. So this weekend I'm going to be making, like, a kind of, like, thick oil paint-type substance to use on one of the girls I'm shooting with. So yeah, that's been a lot of fun. That's been keeping me busy recently.
Now I kind of want to have you make some guacamole for our shoot on Sunday, so that after I've put you in a predicament in the mystery object that you'll be going into, not to spoil anything, and pour guacamole off of you and eat chips off of you after the shoot is over.
Oh, dude, that sounds fun. We should do that. Guacamole and salsa. And nacho cheese. I hate nacho cheese. I would not eat it, but I would like it poured on me.
Well, I can't really eat nacho cheese myself because now I have a dairy allergy. Although I think to eat nacho cheese off of you, I would make an exception.
So maybe
we'll have to talk to Michael. Maybe not this weekend, but maybe after I get my new cat suit, or maybe even this weekend, we'll eat some guacamole and salsa and nacho cheese off of each other.
Yeah, I think that sounds fun. Sexy Mexican WAM fetish video.
Because I was actually thinking about that a couple days ago when I was at the donut shop. I'm sitting there watching them glaze and frost all these donuts, and I'm like, you know, these frosted donuts, I bet they would make a good, of course at the time I didn't know it was pronounced WAM, a good WAM video with Miss Leila.
Oh, speaking of ridiculous ideas, I saw something online that made me think of a shoot idea for you.
Oh.
Latex luchador lube wrestling.
Oh no, you may have spoiled something that I'm thinking about doing in the future.
Oh damn, I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. I don't think anyone will steal the idea, but I've been doing a lot of that in sessions. I could probably do a separate podcast on this, but since you brought it up, one of the subs I've seen recently and some others have been very into Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And so I spent a session recently with a guy locked in a triangle choke while doing hypnosis on him. And, I mean, if you out there understand what a triangle choke is, the idea is you're trying to choke someone into unconsciousness. And when you're putting someone in hypnosis, you're trying to put them in a trance. So I put him in such a deep trance that he passed out, and for a while I was worried that maybe I had killed this guy that I had in the triangle choke, which I didn't have on very tight, so I knew, well, this couldn't possibly be choking him, but I had to kind of check.
Oh, yeah, no, you never want to kill your subs. That's not fun. But, oh my god, that sounds cool. Yeah, I would not have thought to combine hypnosis with wrestling.
Yes, and I actually combined it even more fully with wrestling, because once I noticed that he was out, if anyone out there has watched pro wrestling and they've seen someone in a sleeper hold, and the referee lifts his hand up once, twice, and on the third time he fires up and, you know, comes back to life, I kind of lifted the guy's hand up once, fell down, twice, fell down, and the third time I at least got a sign of life. I'm like, okay, he's just sleeping.
So you have to bring out the taser to wake him up.
Yes. Well, in this case, I mean, that would ruin the trance, so I just kind of ordered him in hypnosis to take hold of my hand. That way I knew he was all right for the rest of the session.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But I think that's a good place to leave off. I mean, this has gone an awfully long time. So for anyone out there who wants to look at your work, your site is LeilaHazlett.com, which I will link to, since if I can't pronounce it, no one's going to be able to spell it. They can also see your work at BondageJunkies.com, StraightJacketed.com, your Wet and Messy and Damsels in Distress work with DIDVP.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's about everything, so thank you so much for doing the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been great talking with you.
Yes, and I look forward to shooting with you this weekend and maybe doing another interview in the future to tell everyone about how it was licking guacamole off of each other.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea.
Okay, well then, until then, goodbye, and I'll talk to everyone on the internet soon.